I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Red Room. Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminished and the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed in the rent room. We let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. Welcome to the Rant Room.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, everybody?
2017.
Yeah. On this show, we discuss... Why are you standing?
I'm listening. I am listening. I am being focused and engaged. You're compelling right now. I haven't seen you in a minute.
I know, I am. I'm tired.
So, keep going.
On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture, but our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that. So you hear her voice, Little Miss Interruption.
I'm in mourning.
You always in mourning about something.
Mm. Well, Friday was the 1 year anniversary of Prince passing.
Oh my God, that was that fast?
Yep.
A year.
Yep.
Damn.
Can't believe and it. What that means is it'll be December pretty soon, and then of course I'll be mourning for George Michael.
Oh God!
Every Christmas,
every Christmas from now
and then
on,
every January,
I'm sad about George Michael.
So it's like they hit up all the seasons.
True.
So and not only that, and we'll get into this later. They canceled my show, Outsiders. They canceled my Appalachian what? White people's.
Damn.
What is going
my show,
on?
What is going on, WGN?
There.
So we'll talk about that later, but I'm just in mourning. It's been a rough weekend, so there will be wine later on this evening. Mm-hmm. I will be going to the BevMo across
and then
the
what's
streets.
Her name from Happy Days?
And, oh, yeah. God. Yeah, Amarin.
Amarin, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Joni!
Who I loved on Joni Loves Chachi, even though the evil Lisa thinks, why did Joni have to leave? Why not Chachi? Y'all didn't hear me say that. But anyway, we'll get into that. But I'm getting over. It's Sunday. It's a good week. Things are great. Mm-hmm. Glad to see you. I want to apologize
Happy
to everybody.
Birthday to you.
Thank
Happy
you.
Belated.
A couple of weeks ago was my birthday, and that was the only reason why I didn't come in. Because, you know, Paul's here. I'd be coming here, hang out with you and Jeff. But it was my birthday weekend.
That was a good show, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It was a really good show.
Yeah.
I wish I could have been there, but it was the birthday weekend, and we'd already made plans with all my April peeps. So we had a big brunch, and we played Star Wars.
Yeah.
We went to the Claim Jumper
buffet. Involved
yes
too, I texted
we had Claim Jumper when you go on Sunday and when it first opened nobody in there so we had like a grip like we had like the blackest nativest Mexicanist group of people so it was like blacks
all
the natives
words, right?
It was just a multicultural and then afterwards we ate had fun and then we did Star Wars trivia and played a whole game for like an hour and a half
was some of that trivia that Rogue One was not as good as Empire is that the trivia
that's not trivia that's facts but hey yeah it was and we got to a heated argument and I went and got some more champagne and I had to tell some family members, you need to shut up. But it was fun. And shout out to Claim Jumper for not kicking us out because we were getting heated and we were winning prizes.
Really?
So that's the only reason why I wasn't here to hang out with you,
Jeff. You know how loud they were.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
So a little disclaimer, y'all. We got the fan on because it's hot as hell here in Hollywood today. So if you hear it, ignore
it's
that.
It's right behind me.
It's right behind me.
They put
me
it
now.
Right behind me. They position me right behind
exactly.
The air conditioner.
What is that right there?
There's no chair there.
Oh.
Is there a chair there that
you can grab
me
a
sit?
Chair and switch.
We could have moved a chair.
Grab a chair and switch.
I'm moving, damn it.
Okay, she's moving.
I go.
She's moving.
Bitch,
so,
get out the way.
So I'm glad to be here. I'm excited. I got two more weeks of work and then I'm off for the summer. So you know what that means. Conferences and traveling.
Surfing.
Surfing. Yes.
Check.
Great white
check.
Sharks.
Yes.
Am I okay?
Being broke, but hey,
yes.
I'm getting ready to go to Wisconsin. Then I'll be in.
You don't get paid over the summer?
We get like our unemployment thing because the way our job is, they get rid of us and then we come back.
Oh, that's how they hold us.
Yeah,
you.
That's how they hold us okay. And stuff like that. But
can you tell the Writers Guild to do that?
I would be nice. I'm hoping y'all don't. I hope you don't strike.
We'll see.
We shall see. But anyway, I'm looking forward to summer in Helsinki and Italy and all that great stuff.
Helsinki?
Yes, the World Fantasy Con.
That's one a real place?
It's going to be good.
One of my favorite people in the whole wide world, a really good friend, Nala Hopkinson, is one of the guest of honors there. Okay. So we had talked about it 2 years ago when they announced that she was the guest of honor. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to go see the original white peoples, the real Vikings. I want to go someplace where my favorite TV shows come from, the mythology that I love. So I'm excited, and I got
to
get ready.
You
got
to hit Iceland, too.
I'm going to try to hit
They were rolling through Iceland.
Oh, God. Yeah. I got to go through all of that before I go down to go see the fam.
Am I even plugged in?
No, you're playing. I unplugged that one.
She doesn't plug that one. Look at you go. No, you're here.
Just, you know.
No, you're on.
Okay, anyway, we got a lot to get in today because we got some stuff.
Let me introduce Linnell.
Yeah, I'm here.
So we got our girl, Linnell White, in the house.
Hey,
writer,
everybody.
Director, producer herself. What's up, girl?
You know what? I'm going to second what Lisa said about this week. It just seemed like it was all happening, right? Every time I got on Twitter, I was like, oh, God, the Bill O'Reilly. You know, then Serena Williams is pregnant.
Right.
It's like, then we had the Detroit and Gorilla issues, which we'll get into. But I just felt like this week is all happening. Then we had to strike authorization vote at the Guild.
Did you go to any of the meetings?
I did not because, no, I couldn't make it after class on Tuesday. I was too tired to get all the way over to Sheraton Hilton.
Right.
Sheraton Universal was the one I was going to go to.
Right.
That's my part of town.
Right.
I wasn't going to go to Beverly Hilton on Wednesday or whatever it was. But I'll say this. Like, I voted online. They made it real easy. No problem.
Really easy.
So, and I had gone to the first meeting that they had back maybe before we started even talking about the strike, where they kind of said, here's what we're bargaining for. You know, here's what we're going and asking for. These are reasonable requests.
Right.
They made $51 billion. I mean, they had slides and everything.
Right.
Very professional, very detailed.
They had receipts.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, we got the receipts.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Once they came back after the initial negotiations and said, the thing that got me personally was the $10 million in healthcare that they were like, oh, you guys are going to pay that. Okay. Let me start getting my markers and my signs and start.
She ready to pick it, bitch. Hell no. We
already arts and crafts project going for you guys.
Okay. Oh man. That's right.
So yeah, I just feel like this week it was all happening, and then I did like a live read of my latest pilot, or I did 10 pages of it. This thing called Breakthrough Reading Series. If you're we do it at Tom Bergen's on Fairfax.
Okay.
So look on Facebook, just search for Breakthrough Reading Series. Okay. It's for female writers and female writers of color. Submit your work, and then they'll do 10 pages. We had a packed house in
there.
Like standing room only, like sweat on people's bodies. We were we're in there like just packed.
Right.
It made me a little bit like, claustrophobic.
Right.
But no, it was good. It was a good crowd that came out. Yeah.
Some good stuff comes out of that. That reminds me of, shout out to Lexi Alexander, director on who I follow on Twitter, who's amazing, fighting the good fight. She did a Twitter thread and basically said, had a roll call, say, who are the women of color TV writers, screenwriters?
Oh, really?
Let me know who you are.
This was yesterday.
And so I was trying to tag as many people as I knew on there. And I know I'm missing a few of my Twitter friends because happened.
Jeff Thorne, like other
Jeff Thorne stuff,
the pipe up and sort of get the list going.
Right. So I think check out Lexi Alexander. Look for her thread, and if you're looking for women of color screenwriters for TV and film, there's a nice chunk of names, so please don't act like they don't exist. They're out there. They're basically telling you who they are. Okay. So, anywho, there we go.
That's what's up. So, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get it in. So, Lisa, let's talk about this topic you want to bring up today. Let's get it in.
Because I follow the sistren across the pond in the UK. See, one of the things is when you're global and when you follow people from different parts of the world, you get access to information. And not only that, but these folks was like videotaping and telling stuff. So anyway, to give a quick overview, last year I got excited because I heard that there was going to be a TV series, a 6-part TV series about the Black Power movement in London. And I thought, awesome. And then they said that they cast Idris. So, you know, I'm already there. All you have to say is, Eid, and I'm already there. You ain't got to say the rest of the name.
Right.
You know? And they also had one of my
Hold on. Why Linnell start sweating when you say Eid?
Wait, what? And it was like, and one of my other favorite, like, British actors, male, is Nicholas Pinchot. Oh, my God. From Top Boy? I had to stop watching Top Boy the second season because he wasn't in it no more. And I was like, I can't watch it no more. But I love him. He's been in a lot of great stuff. Check out Fortitude. He's in Fortitude and a bunch of other projects.
Fortitude's solid.
And so he's just amazing actor. So I was already there. And I just thought to myself, this is awesome. So they've got like these veterans who got some chops. So I'm sure, you know, because me, a student of history, I know they're going to bring in some good.
John, you forgot to mention John Ridley.
Well, like, no, that was on purpose.
Okay.
That was on purpose. Because I had no idea that he was part of that.
Oh, I see.
Because had I known that...
I'm talking about when they first announced it. You just heard that Idris was attached, and you're like,
Idris, and they said Black Power, London.
I'm 1970s. Like, yes!
Mm-hmm. I'm in. And I'm like, I want to hear that, because we always talk about Black Americans, Black Power, civil rights.
See, I knew the story. I've heard the story.
And like, I was familiar with it, but I was excited to be able to like see it. And so my first thought was, well, I know Naomi Harris is probably really busy, so they're probably going to bring in some really great Black British actresses. So in my mind,
there's tons of them, by the way.
There's tons of them. Okay, Michaela Cole, the sister that's on, who I love, and she's on, she's also on Chewing Gum, who plays the younger sister.
Oh, yeah.
Just amazing. So in my mind, I just knew that if you're going to do something about that, you already know who's already hitting the big guns in, you know, in UK. You're going to like do your best to get those people. So, you know, of course it's the UK, so I'm not connected in terms of, hey, who's my friends over there? So when they finally started doing the posters and stuff and say, oh, it's coming out. And I looked and I saw one of the first posters. And I was getting a little choked up there because I thought, okay, well, maybe this is just one of a set of posters. Because, you know, sometimes they do sets of posters of different actors. So I thought, okay, so this is probably just one of a series. So we're going to get...
Let me just pull back. Yeah, let me throw it back.
It was Frida Pinto on one. And I thought, huh, this is interesting. It looks like they're trying to do homage to, like, the Black Power posters that we had over here. And basically, they just cut and pasted her face on a famous poster. And I thought, okay.
Is the one with the afro?
Yes. So they stuck her in there.
Put Frida Pinto with an afro.
With a big afro in the background. With, like, the black... I'm like, okay. So, of course, me being the loving person that I am, and it's just, I don't always assume things are what they are until I actually see what they are. Like, I always think in my mind, well, they're going to do something else. They're going to bring me, they're going to explain themselves. And then I didn't see in the posters, and I was like, oh, and then they had the other poster where they had the three characters on there. I'm like, you ain't got no black woman on the poster? And then I finally saw the trailer, and then, like, there was no speaking. No. Black women, they have two, and one's a hooker, and one's a traitor to the movie.
I watched the trailer last night. I did not see a single black female in that trailer.
I think they were background stuff.
Right. But in terms of actually being featured in the trailer, it was all Frida Pinto.
Yeah.
And even Idris has a couple
and
shots in the trailer.
She's like the leader of the movement. And I'm like,
yeah, she is. Yeah. So, she's the reason they have the whole thing.
Exactly.
I said, okay, let me just wait and see, because I knew there was going to be a screening in the UK. So I thought, you know, there's a couple of people that I follow who are journalists, and some of them who are like culture makers, and they just talk about. So you know what? I'll just wait to see what they say. Child.
They went in.
They went in and they videotaped.
Really? But they weren't, okay, let me put it like this.
And it wasn't mean.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I was going to say. It wasn't aggressive, angry black women just for the sake
of being
angry.
The simple question was this. I'll just reiterate the question. The question was, huh, it seems to me really interesting that there are so many black women who are part of the UK Black Power movement. How come we don't see them in the series, in the pilot? How come we don't see them in the marketing? You have Frida Pinto, but there's no other. Why is that? Simply, that was
very
the question.
Very civil. Yeah.
Very civil. Yeah. It wasn't the stereotypical.
Who were they talking to?
They were talking to John Ridley, Frida Pinto,
the panel. Idris, the whole cast.
They had a screening.
The panel.
They had like the pilot screening, and then they had like a Q&A afterwards. So all of them were up on the stage, and I was shocked because Idris didn't say nothing. And you know what, Idris? Baby, keep doing that. Don't say nothing. This too shall pass. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I'm kind of looking at him like,
I'm side-eyeing too, but I give people three strikes, they're out. I give them three strikes and they're out. So this is like his first strike, but he hasn't said anything. So I'm just thinking maybe he just wanted to get the story out there. He's not like a big role.
Okay, so wait a minute. What's his involvement in it other than
He's one of the executive producers.
He should be saying something.
Yeah, he has a voice.
As an EP, you should be saying something. Because he's part of the reason this thing got made.
Correct.
Let's be honest.
Correct.
And having his name attached.
It got made because of three people. Idris, John Ridley, and then they said, well, we need to find a face. We need to find a female face to put in here.
Who's
that'll
British.
Sell this thing.
Naomi Harris would not
sell
it.
That'll sell this thing.
She would totally sell it to me.
But
it's on Showtime. This ain't a movie. I mean, like a...
Right. But
you know what I mean?
They're not thinking just about Showtime. I can guarantee you. What they're thinking is, how do we reach a more global audience, okay? And Frida Pinto, in their opinion, obviously, was that face to reach.
Raise your hand in the audience right now if you know who Frida Pinto is.
I'll give them that.
Well, I mean, that's they had a white woman in there who had a big part in it, too. And I'm like, oh, wow. So anyway, the whole point. And so when John Ridley got up, mind you, go online, look, and you see the videotape. It was a very civil question. When you have black people who are really sensitive and who are pretty much anti-black. And I'm going to say it because I've read some articles that he's written in the past where he said some really egregious things about black people.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There are some black folk who are not.
He has a point of view.
He has a point of view.
And he's entitled.
He's married to a white woman.
No, he's married to an Asian woman. Filipino.
Yeah.
She's Filipino.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And he made it about that. He said basically, I married to an Asian woman and I wanted to see, had nothing to do with the question.
Oh, really?
And the woman reiterated.
I wanted to see.
And it's like basically he's putting his preferences up there and made into this thing. And then they tried to bring the question back. He didn't answer the question.
He said the reason he's like, I want to focus on interracial couple because I'm in an interracial relationship was one of the things he threw out there. And then I heard that.
Had nothing to do with answering the question.
I got a little bit triggered because I'm like, okay, if you want to do a film about an interracial relationship, why don't you do Loving? Why don't you write and direct Loving? Why don't you or do some other project? Mm-hmm. This is supposed to focus on the Black Power movement and the, 1970s, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you choose to bring this. She's British, but she's Indian.
She's
right?
Like Pakistani or something like that.
I don't know if she's Pakistani or Indian.
She was in Slumdog. She's gorgeous.
I don't want to misspeak or whatever.
Yeah.
But you chose to focus on her.
Southeast Asian, we'll say that.
Yeah, okay, Southeast Asian.
We call her
instead
Asian,
of
okay.
When there were actual black lady leaders of this movement.
And you can still have Frida in it. You just have to have another black woman in a significant role also who's part of that. Like if you want to put Frida on the poster, that's fine with the three of them, but you got to have a black female and you have to tell black, because black women are carrying stuff. We are running Twitter. We are running most of social media.
Well, even just to be closely historically accurate with the argument of the audience, they were like, look, they were rattling off names. Names I don't know because I'm over here in my little,
names, pictures.
Happy little America place,
Yeah.
So, and I want to know about these women. I want to know their stories.
Right.
And it's just sort of like, I get Frida Pinto. And then should we get to the part where, first of all, it got attributed to Black Lives Matter in the press. That Black Lives Matter activists were making her cry, angry.
And made Frida Pinto cry, and that did not happen. So they twisted the narrative to make it sound like some angry black women
From
Black Lives Matter went in and made a non-black woman cry and had to have John Ridley and all of them defend them.
And that was the headline. Frida Pinto cries during Black Lives Matter attack.
I kept waiting to see if Frida was going to say something like, that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. We understand that people have concerns and criticisms, but said nothing. And so they create this false narrative of, oh my God, these Black Lives Matter angry black British women came to this panel and disrupted everything.
What the heck is an angry black British woman? They have their tea. They have their. They're civilized.
They're civilized
people.
Women. Mm. And if you listen to the question, it was quite proper. and the question simply was, where are we and why aren't we there? And it became more like, this is my interracial love story I wanted to tell, and basically erasure of black women. And then they were coming at us, and even the other actor who's one of the stars of it had asked the woman who asked the question, was like, oh, so how do you know this? Did you read about it? I'm like, nigga, yes. And she lived it. And then she said, and the woman said, my mom lived through this. So I'm like, why would you fix
for
your
you
mouth?
To assume that the audience doesn't know the story?
So already, the sistren on this side of the big water was looking at that and going, wow. How do you not have us there? Do you not want us to come see that? Do you not want to support us? Especially American Twitter. I'm telling you, we run Twitter. If you saw the Henrietta Lacks thing last night on HBO, it was the number one trending thing. Why? Black Girl Nerds, Oprah hooked up with them, Ava, all the nerds that I know were on there. They were live tweeting. It was the number one thing trending for as long as that thing was on. So a lot of stuff was happening. We do it. We run everything. Black women, we run the world. I'm just letting y'all know. Don't get mad. Just get with the winning team. That's all
run
I'm saying. So it was like this big. So it was interesting on my part because I was like, first of all, I was like, I really wanted to see this. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to watch it. I'm not even bothered to get the Showtime. My friends, I'll support it. I'll wait and get it later and see it later on for the criticisms of it. But I thought to myself, I need to make a financial and a political statement and basically say, you don't support us.
I don't support you.
And then you say it publicly as if, no, this is what happens when black women talk about erasure and they get upset. I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not going to support your product. I'm going to be there for people who support us.
Let me say this. Here's an interesting thing that I noticed. And like I said, I'm familiar with this story. You know how I'm about British things anyway.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm familiar with the story. When I started watching it, I was like, here's the problem that happens.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know the story, you think that's the truth.
Right.
So
right.
It made me second guess what I knew. I was like, was it an Asian woman? Who did?
They actually, I forgot. Didn't they base it on? They based Frida Pinto's character on someone else.
A real Asian dude, a man.
Okay. Who was part of an amalgamation of a couple different people from history.
Understood.
And then they built in this romance.
They just switched the sex and made it into a. They tried to make a romantic thing.
Right.
To sell romance and politics. I get it. They want to have some sexy.
They want to package a project and sell it.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
Sure. But you can't do that and sacrifice the black female faces that should have been in this thing.
Right. Because the way the story goes, basically black women did nothing.
Right. Well, there was a prostitute, apparently.
Yeah. I've heard episode two.
And then a traitorous woman and has an actual part.
And a black woman who's a traitor, who whatever. So it's kind of so if you knew nothing, you would believe that's what it is.
Because like the chief of police has, and you know the prostitute woman, he has a kid with her.
Right. Right.
Here we go. Can I get back to the Frida Pinto?
Yes, go.
The
go.
Crying
yes.
situation.
Yes.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, you're crying at the press conference. And I don't know if she really did.
She wasn't.
Okay, let's assume she was. Girl, you're weak. Okay? Don't cry at a press conference. There's no crying in this business. Okay? You sign on a dotted line to be in a movie. You knew going in that you guys were modifying the history somewhat. So when people want to hold you accountable, don't sit up there and cry.
Right.
You wanted a part. You should have been ready to answer the questions that come when you're taking that part. I don't have a good example. But let's say this. If I go over to the UK and I do the George Michael movie, right? Here I'm a black female from America. You would think someone who should write and direct that should be probably a gay man, probably someone from the UK. Mm-hmm. If I go in and take that over, I am ready to answer questions.
Right.
What do you know about him?
Correct.
How it affects my life. How are you connected to this material?
Right.
What is your backstory? Instead, she threw out some sort of vague thing about political blackness or.
Yes.
Which
is basically people who are not black by virtue of being colored adjacent. You can use blackness as for your own political gains as not just being black, but being politically black. If that makes
because
sense.
Because they relate or something or what?
Because they also have non-white skin.
Right. And because they're. But you always got to understand. If you don't know anything about history, is black people always get the brunt. I don't care if you Asian or Latino. When it comes down to shit popping off, historically, and this has been proven. In fact, it was proven a couple of weeks ago because I knew somebody's ass got beat and by the cops. Mm-hmm. And nobody came out and supported them and said nothing like it was business as usual. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's always going to be black people. And everybody else is a buffer. Asian people are getting that message now. Have y'all heard about the dude who was on American Airlines who bought the whole ticket and dragged?
No, that was Delta.
No, it wasn't Delta. Don't put Delta's name in this.
The Asian dude got drug off Delta last week.
No, it was American Airlines.
No, United.
We
got it
sorry,
wrong.
We got it wrong.
We got it all wrong.
Sorry,
United.
American United. And Delta,
no,
but I know y'all fucked
good.
Up too. Y'all probably
good.
Fucked
we
up
love
too.
American.
But it's like United Airlines, and so the whole thing about having an extra seat and they had to give up the seats, they overbooked it, and there were four other people. I guess they said they could have chosen from. So of course, me being the black person that I am, and I'm like, they probably chose. This is my theory. They probably looked around and chose the
who's
Asian,
put up the
Vietnamese
resistance.
Guy, and they figured the stereotypes of Asian people being very docile, accommodating, and everything, and they thought, we'll probably choose him. I don't know if they did a regular number and pulled a name out of hat. I think they just looked to see who it was, saw a Vietnamese name, and like, okay, we could put him off. He ain't gonna start no stuff.
Well, who
and
can we easily overpower?
Yeah, who can we overpower in this power dynamic? Mm-hmm. And they went for the Vietnamese dude, and then he said, no. He says, I'm a doctor. I got patients I got to see tomorrow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to pick somebody else. And they weren't giving up much money. Mm-hmm. They weren't saying we're going to accommodate and do all this stuff. So basically they dragged him. They had three black dudes who were the security came.
Who I'm kind of looking at with side eye. Like, really?
No.
I know you're on the check, but at what point do you say, hey.
No, it's America. And we always have some black folk that do the bidding of the man.
And I'm looking at him on the side.
I have some slave catcher flashbacks
about
and
to
I
say,
saw that tape.
The slave masters had other slaves go get other slaves.
Okay, they sure did. Who wants to snitch better than us? Okay, come on now. Nat Turner.
The way they drug him off.
Look,
find the video on the internet.
Messed them up. And he pretty much he gonna own United Airlines and they're gonna rename it Dow Airlines.
Wow.
Probably.
If
you stay in business. But, you know. So, you know, people are learning in terms of getting their come to Jesus moment where they realize, oh, my God, they're going to come after us too, not just black people, because mm-hmm. black people are always the buffer for everybody mm-hmm. else, and everybody benefits from all our hard labor. So right now, Asians are getting that wake-up call, and quite frankly, I'm happy, not because he got beat up, but because now they're realizing
now they're
that
engaged. Everyone's engaged.
Your proximity to whiteness is not going to protect you, and you're not white. Okay? I'm sorry. So as much as you've tried to be doctors and lawyers and try to get jobs where, you know, it doesn't have to do with the arts, where it's like numbers and facts, that way they're, you know, you're quantifiable things where there's no way that you could, they can be racist against you. He was a doctor, and they still beat his ass and dragged him off.
Yeah, and getting back to Gorilla in terms of numbers.
Yes.
So you said you saw the numbers for Gorilla.
Yes, so the pilot episode they showed it, the numbers on Showtime was 182,000 people. That's, now, to give you some, to give you horrible. An idea of how low that is, most typical shows are what? In between 800,000 to maybe 1 million viewers?
Well, I'm going to put it to you like this. At its worst, the Ryan Lochte reality show.
Damn.
Did better.
Ryan Lochte
better,
her dude, though.
That's five, her dude. Episode 5 got probably 200,000 viewers. So let me just say that.
What network was that on?
Oh, no, that was like, this was years ago. Yeah. This was years ago when he was like, you know.
The Golden Boy.
Yeah, and the first, that was it Australia? I don't remember what the Olympics
until you messed up in Brazil.
I remember.
Yeah, now he doesn't have a show now.
Pretty Ricky for the column.
But I'm just
Pretty
saying, his reality show did better than Gorilla.
Okay. We're just talking about the first episode. Now,
the pilot, which should be, which
that should
have
be
big
huge numbers.
Correct.
But, and people were saying like, oh, it could have been about, you know, maybe no marketing. And people, you know, are saying like, oh, because no, it was bad publicity. Basically, the sisters over in the pond, hootie hoo! And we.
That's a whoop!
And we were like, we got message received. They sent the bad signal.
Yeah.
And we were like, hell no. And then people were like, and I was just amazed that, I'm just going to say this, brothers, you was fucking up. Because when I was looking at a lot of the responses and people coming back at women on social media, God damn it, if it wasn't a bunch of men going, why? You guys are always bitter. Why
Calm
can't people?
Down.
We need to be inclusive. We need to embrace all of our. And some Asian people were coming at like, you know, you shouldn't be racist against. It's like, you missed the whole point. You missed the whole point. You know, and then somebody tried to say, oh, there's some random stuff. And I had to clarify some stuff for some people because somebody said, well, people should play anything. You know, Ben Kingsley played Gandhi and he's a white. I'm like, he's half. He's half. Okay. He's half Indian. Okay. So his people, that's his people. So he can play whatever. But it's like, you know, so there was a lot of craziness. And I was really disappointed. Some of the brothers who was coming at us, like, who weren't supporting us.
Who stopped being so angry about stuff. Y'all looking
y'all
for stuff
looking
to
for
be angry
stuff to be
about.
Angry about. Well, and I'm like, well, when you've been erased a lot, and it wasn't like I said, it wasn't being mean. It was like, hey, we're here.
Well, here's the thing that's striking me, the more you guys talk about it and the more my comment I made about the history, when you're talking about something with historical facts, I worry that when we try to diversify the cast because people forget
you're losing it.
That this was a real thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I worry about that.
There is creative license. I need to say that. I said you can tell any story
it's called historical
you want to tell.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's historical
inspired
fiction.
By
right.
whatever based on.
But what I'm trying to tell y'all who are doing, who if you're out there and you have a project that you want to tell that's historical, you need to really think about your marketing. Who is, who are, if you're telling your story to and who the market's going to be.
And whose story is this? That's what I'm looking at. When I'm looking at the Gorilla poster, I was like, you want me to watch the story of Black Power Movement, but you featured a Southeast Asian woman on the poster. I'm confused.
Which is interesting. If the story wasn't so much about the Black Power Movement, but it was just about this couple's relationship.
That's a totally different show. And you can
and
do
that's
that show.
And that's interesting.
You can do that show.
That's an interesting concept. But when you're talking about you coming out and publicly saying, we're going to talk about the United Kingdom, London's Black Power Movement, and you don't got black women who move mountains
in it.
Yeah. In it.
That's a very good point.
You fucked up.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the clap back. So like I said, you have free creative license.
Another thing is, I want to encourage our filmmakers in the UK, our black female filmmakers in the UK, don't let John Ridley come over there and do your stories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
there's so many talented people
over guys,
there.
You know, fight for doing your own stories there. Because I'm like, why is this American guy going over there and doing this? It just raised my eyebrow.
I read online, and I have to verify it, because something like originally, I think he had it set like in California, like, and then decided to move it over there.
Had it set in California.
Okay.
Like the Black Power, like the Panthers or something like that.
Oh, and how it moved
and then
over
they
there
decided, okay, let's just do it over there. And it's just a whole bunch of stuff. It just felt to me like.
No, I feel like here's what probably happened. They were thinking, let's do it in California, we'll do it by the Black Panthers. But then when Idris was like, we can get Idris, It was like, oh, well, we'll just set it over there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm telling you, this was a lot. This is the product of packaging things together and trying to make different pieces fit.
And all this stuff went through several hands.
Oh, yeah.
Who okayed this.
It's like that Pepsi commercial. And I'm trying to through a lot of people.
Yes.
By the time we got that thing on the air. And are you kidding me right now?
And Kendall, how come you weren't at the science march?
Kendall's not at anything.
Yeah, it's just profiting.
I was
going
to ask you, did you go to that? Because I heard that Neil deGrasse Tyson wasn't going.
Oh,
and there was a reason why. He explained it really well.
There's a lot of people who did not go. Yeah. I mean, there's reasons why. But one of the presents that a lot of my friends who are...
Tell people what it is who don't know.
Oh, no. There was a march that happened. Because yesterday, by the time you hear this, but it was Saturday. It's Sunday now, but it was Saturday. It was Earth Day. And so scientists from all over the world, there's like 600... 600... what is it? Actual, like, people were having marches, but there was like 600 globally, like actual marches, planned marches with permits and stuff to celebrate and basically encourage people to science is real and factual, basically.
Yeah. Climate change.
Data,
and basically, it's facts.
Basically, all this shit is just a message to the Trump administration that basically your fantasy of climate change not being real and not believing in
or
science.
Or that you can attack the National Park Service at will
and whatever.
Knock and fly.
So they had, you know, they had their marches. And there's some scientists, and in particular, especially those who are black scientists, a lot of them are like, they, you know, weren't participating because they have reasons why, but mainly because there is a thing of scientific racism. Mm-hmm. And if you know history about black people on the globe, especially with the Henry Halifax story coming out, also with gynecology, if you know anything about the history of how those instruments got created, was used on the bodies of black women, experimented on. And those tools they use for women to this day were used on a black woman first, and her body was pretty much brutalized. All the techniques in terms of gynecological surgery, they practice on this black woman. You can look it up. It's historical and it's real. We already know about the Tuskegee stuff and all the other stuff. So basically, there are some scientists who feel like there are some scientists who talk about fact and science being all about fact and not having any type of influence in terms of people's opinions or falsehoods. What they're saying is that's not true because there is scientific racism and you can manipulate science and scientific data to put whatever you want out there.
Sure.
Great examples of recently, like about 10, 15 years ago when we had the Bell Curve book came out and they were talking about that black people were inferior intellectually and they use scientific data to back this up and come to find out that it was skewed and it wasn't even real and the sources they used were bullshit. So there are some people who were saying that scientists are not going to save us, and so some of them chose not to participate. I don't know what Neil's reasoning was. I'll have to read about it.
I heard it on KPCC last
NPR.
Yeah, I heard on, they were talking about it because I didn't even realize what it was.
Right.
I just heard him.
He's active on Twitter. I'm sure if you scroll his Twitter, find out. Like,
actually, they quoted something from him.
Okay,
Twitter,
right. Yeah. So, you know, there's stuff.
Just like those people that didn't want to come to the Women's March. And
yeah,
they had their
there's
reasons
some women.
And,
yeah.
You know, everyone's entitled.
Yeah.
But what I love is, like, right now our country's so engaged politically.
Right.
And it seems like every month we're out there marching. Every month it's
like every other day.
The science march, we had the tax march, we had the Women's March. We're going to be out here marching, motherfucker.
Right. I mean,
yeah, that's what you need. And you can turn on Fox News and they can try and ignore it, but it's
there. People are finally waking up.
Yeah.
Late. But waking up. Now, to segue from Gorilla, something else that happened a couple days later was the first trailer came out for Kathryn Bigelow, who I love.
Yes.
She's directing a new film that stars John Boyega, and it's called Detroit. Yep. And it's about one of the events that popped off, part of the Detroit riots back in, I want to say, 1967. Mm-hmm. And saw the trailer. Like, I was stoked. Like, oh, Kathryn. Of course, you know, Kathryn Bigelow. Love
the
her.
The trailer starts off great.
And I started the trailer and started watching. And then I was like, yes, Kathryn, and it's Detroit. And then
it just sort of collapses.
I haven't seen the whole thing. What happened?
To me, it seemed like the trailer starts to feature like a segment of the riots, like this party that's happening at this house, which is fine. But I got concerned where, again, I was seeing a lot of African-American male faces and white police, and there, you know, tons of shots of white police, like batons, we're coming at you, we're coming in. And so there's this tension built up. I'm like, great. Right. It looks like the John Boyega character is caught in the middle.
Right.
Like he's trying to be...
He's a police officer.
He's bringing the white officers coffee. Like he's like a, you know, he's trying to be cool with everybody, but he's in the middle, clearly.
Right.
But then the part that takes place inside the house, that this party they're having, it's a bunch of black dudes. Mm-hmm. And then for every reason, the way the trailer's cut, editing a trailer is an art form. They give awards for how trailers cut
they
together.
They really should.
So they spend a lot of time on these things. It wasn't just thrown together, all right?
But the way the trailer's cut, this black dude's at a party, then you keep focusing on this white girl in the corner. And she's having a good time. And then somebody does something, like pulls out a starter pistol, and then she's scared. Like, we keep going back to her in the trailer. And then at that point in the trailer, we're about a minute in, and I'm thinking, where are the black women? I don't see any black women in this trailer. So the two shots of black women that are in the trailer, because I watched it again last night, the back of one's head, because she's dancing in the corner with somebody.
Because we dance a lot.
That's all we do is dance.
We dance.
Dance, yeah.
They show afros.
Okay. And then the other shot was a black woman coming up to a driver's side window and yelling at somebody. That was maybe a tenth of a second.
Right, right.
And that's it. And I'm just sort of like, where were all the black women taking care of their families when these riots are going on?
Right.
I mean, and that, maybe that's not the story you're telling, but why aren't they not at this party,
right,
too? Why?
Right.
And I'm like, Catherine. I love Kathryn Bigelow. Loves Hurt Locker. If you read the script for Hurt Locker, Anthony Mackie's part was written for a white guy. And she chose to cast Anthony Mackie. And,
right.
And I'm glad she did, because what people sometimes forget about the armed services is it's diverse as hell.
Correct. Yep.
Diverse as hell.
Yep.
Like, every department.
Everybody, yeah, everybody is, yeah, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I mean, all kinds. Just like last night on Twitter, it was a situation with someone to post some bullshit about
Chinese Americans don't ever fight for this country. They don't.
Yeah,
they don't fight.
I haven't seen Chinese Americans in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I saw this thing, and I'm like, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord.
So one of the people I follow was throwing up receipts, and then Linnell threw up one for a black Chinese American woman.
Oh really?
Chinese American woman that flew in World War II for our country and died. Hazel Lee, her name, died in the line of duty, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, I'll go back to World War II and show you a Chinese woman that was, you know,
we ain't got to talk about Iran. We can talk about from
the jump.
Oh,
my God. From the jump. From before they even let women in armed services, okay?
Let's,
So I was disappointed in the trailer, and I'm hoping that there's more. But I think
when does that come out?
Maybe this summer, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
is it a movie or is it TV?
It's a movie. It's a movie. But coming on the heels.
Right.
Of the gorilla thing, and you already know that black women are already heated, and we want to see ourselves. And I was thinking, so part of me is thinking, yeah, when they probably cut this trailer, they cut it, and then stuff popped off, and it's too late. We can't
change. Right. Right.
So I'm hope it's the same thing with Wonder Woman, because
where is the press for that?
Listen,
where are the toys?
Listen,
going on with this
Wonder
movie?
Woman comes out June 2nd. I ain't seen no
posters.
I haven't seen anything either.
I haven't
seen.
I went to the movies.
It's all Guardians of the Galaxy. It's all Guardians of the Galaxy.
I saw it once at the movie theater.
Everything is Guardians of the Galaxy.
I haven't seen anything.
Everything is like the new. It's
there's nothing. The shelves are bare. Somebody, I think it was this guy Victor I follow on Twitter. He had posted pictures like, I'm in Walmart. Here are the shelves. Wonder Woman. A couple toys. I'm in Toys R Us. Yeah, a couple Wonder Woman toys. This should be loaded.
Came out. We had stuff a year in advance. No action. Are you kidding me?
They had rows of
them. And they still do. Even for this one that's coming out this December.
You should be having giveaways so people to come. And it's like they got it's like they're purposely trying to tank this.
But for me, I mean, you know, you live in this town and you see how the posters pop up early on buses, billboards, everywhere. Correct. And I'm seeing nothing and
nothing.
That worries me.
Yes.
Are they trying to bury this movie? I'm not trying to get us segued off in a different direction.
Oh, no, it's fine. No, but it's part of erasure. And also the fact that one of the people I follow had posted this thing, because, you know, I kept up with some of the casting stuff, but it was like, okay, well, we'll see when it happens. But they started showing the other women of color who were in this movie, Wonder Woman, who are not in any of the trailers or on the poster stuff. So you've got all these black and Asian women.
It should all be a toy.
And it should all
be a toy.
It should be a pack, a Wonder Woman starter pack.
Yeah.
Where you can get the whole little thing. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I need to get to toys and marketing. You should be having that shit out.
Well, it's
right
the same
now.
Shit we had with Black Widow. Remember, I had to come on here like maybe a year ago and I was fussing about there's no Black Widow toys. And these little girls are like, hell, you don't even get the Halloween costume.
Same,
you don't get nothing.
It's the same when Rogue One and Star Wars, the
Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens. And I was complaining because they had all the other characters, but I couldn't find my Rey toys.
Right.
I had to go online to try to buy a Rey toy.
Right.
But
because Disney is under the impression that we've got girls covered with our princesses. So we have the princesses like Beauty and the Beast.
Let me tell you.
And Little Mermaid. So we don't need to segue
every
into
girl
this
don't
boys,
be no princess.
This boys' world of Star Wars. They still, I think, feel like Star Wars is a boys' world. I got news for you.
Right.
I got news for you.
Right.
I wanted to be Han Solo when I was a kid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I saw this man in the cantina. He shoots the guy. He flips a quarter. Right. He walks out. I'm like, I want to be him.
I want to be that person.
And he flies with his little furry friend.
Yes.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
My furry friend who drinks. And people are scared. We're in there.
Exactly. So there's just it was all happening this week. It was all happening.
It's just too much.
Week.
And it's like, and what makes it really bad is that you're purposely going to lose money. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm telling you, you will make a grip of money. You will get publicity. You will get people tweeting and talking about your product. But when you start erasing your market, people who are part of your market, and there's certain things that they think about in terms of specification. They talk about, oh, when things are too specific, we always have to be broad. We have to be universal. Mm-hmm. We have to appeal to... No, you don't.
Well, specificity is what sells
now. No, you don't.
That's it's different. Yeah,
you know,
that's why,
well,
Netflix and Hulu, they're specific programming on those streaming services. Yeah,
and it's successful, and it's like
they're outsiders.
They're, you know, the outsiders were now the insiders. Speaking of which, as I said earlier, they canceled Outsiders. And it makes me wonder.
You guys get 2 seasons?
Yeah.
We got 2 seasons. We need one more season because Hassel and Sally Ann is pregnant. Mm. I just want to see their baby.
How do you do that to the fans? How do you do that?
Just give me one more season. Let us see them have the baby and hurry up and make me a happy ending.
Like 3 more episodes or something.
Just something.
Do like a made-for-TV movie. Or do the TV movie.
I'm hoping they will shop it around and some other network will pick it up. But what I'm not understanding is it'd be different if Outsiders was just like nobody was watching it.
Yeah.
Top rated show on the network.
People were watching it. Every time I see the live tweets, because I can only watch on the weekend because I'd be at work, and like, you know, I just bought the season on Amazon, so I would catch up on the weekends and I would tweet whatever. And, you know, critical acclaim.
It surely had more numbers than Gorilla.
I'm just saying.
No, it was a top rated show.
Right.
That's
and
fact.
It was like a flagship because right after that, like the year if they came out and then Underground came out and Underground's doing wonderful. And of course, why? Black women and black people are live tweeting and talking about the show and really engaged. And then the actors are engaged with the fans.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about Outsiders. When they live tweet, like both the main actors, Christina Jackson and what's his name, they will live tweet. Yeah. They will say cool stuff. They will like their fan stuff. Mm-hmm. They support their fans. They encourage the fans to watch the show. They give excellent fan service. Into the Badlands has learned. Thank you, Jesus. They have learned what fan service is because they have given us everything we've asked for, pretty much. And their writers, hey, Latoya, you got to get her in here.
Oh, yeah, I talked to her on Wednesday.
Okay, tell her to get in here because her episode.
Latoya Morgan.
Her episode from last week. Child, listen. Listen, that's
sister Kim.
That's sister Kim. I know. I saw her tweet that she was on there. They're doing this stuff. I'm like, does that mean they're working on a third season?
Yeah. Because she was going to come today, but she's there.
All right, sis, did the damn thing. But let me tell you, they're doing fan service. Not only are they inclusive, they're showing variety of people. Mm-hmm. They're showing a variety of color, okay? Hair textures.
Clothes.
And everything. They do excellent fan service. Oliver Stark. Oliver, boo, I miss you. He plays Ryder. I looked forward every week on Into the Badlands to see what he was going to wear, okay? Mm-hmm. I had learned to like his character. I was mad at him last season, and then they took my boy away. Mm-hmm. But he was excellent because he interacted with the fans, and they appreciate the fans. These other people who are doing badly, I don't know what the problem is. So Outsiders being canceled is hurtful because it's like, what's the reasoning?
Well, and it's also part of a trend of that network. If you look at their other
their
shows.
Their scripted series.
Salem, I think, did 3 seasons.
Yeah.
They canceled it. And then they had a show called Manhattan, which is all about the atom bomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That went 2 seasons. Outsiders 2. Yeah. So they dipped their toe in the scripted television realm.
Right.
I don't think they were really prepared. And I don't think they quite know what they're doing because it looks to me like they're trying to get out of that. Because everyone, like, I don't know if you guys know, WG in America.
It's expensive.
WG in America also is like, it was a local Chicago type network that would show reruns of Into the Heat of the Night.
That's why every week I was watching
Jeff. You see Jeff Thorne on there all the time.
Go ahead, sweet.
He's on, you know, they show like reruns of some old time shows.
Right.
And then they just started branching out to like reality shows. And then they decided to get in the script department. I think maybe they jumped in the deep end of the pool before they were quite ready. Because now, with Outsiders gone, Underground is their only scripted show left.
That's a tough call.
And they're on season 2. And so I feel like...
They next.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not think that?
I mean, unless that's their new thing, then they need to let the people they know who they buy these shows from.
That you're going to wrap it up in two seasons.
Then you need to be like they do in Korea and Japan when they have those series and just one season.
And then you don't fuck over the fans, like, you know, ending on a cliffhanger because you think, and I'm sure the people on Outsiders thought they were going to come back. They thought they were coming back in season three.
If you're going to end on somebody pregnant, you're going to stop.
Our fandom, we roll hard. We were like sending condolences to each other. We were like, we don't understand, like, because nobody was watching that show until we started picking the banner and said, you know what, we gonna start uniting and getting this stuff. And it was like, I don't know, it just became like this thing, and it was trending, and we were tweeting,
and that's great. Fan engagement on Twitter is great, but at the same time, you've got these people sitting in an ivory tower who are making the business decisions. Right. They are looking at Twitter. They're going to see who's engaged on fans because that doesn't give them any money.
Right.
You know, they're trying to figure out, how can I sell this show? And maybe in a situation where Outsiders say the material they picked, you know, this goes back to what Paul Gill was talking about in terms of Empire.
Right.
How do you sell this outside the U.S.? Is maybe that was the issue with Outsiders. I don't know, because it's set in Appalachia.
Same thing with Underground.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, and what was shocking to me was because Outsiders, predominantly, it's white people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the type of white people I want to see.
Right.
Which is like the Appalachian. Right. No, because you never see
it's
very specific. It's a very specific type.
Yeah.
And it's historic in terms of, and it's something I've always been interested in, because you have these different classes. We always talk about the Appalachian hillbillies. But you're not only that show dealing with hillbillies, but you're also dealing with the poor working class white people in a small town.
Right.
And you're also dealing with black characters who are also living in that town surrounded. And how are they interacting with these different types of white people? It was something
so very on point for the now.
Yes,
we are all sitting talking about the blue collar, the white workers in the rural areas. We're all having
who feel left out, and talking, and especially with Chris Pratt running his mouth talking about, oh, as an actor, you know, we just not have enough of like white working class actor roles. And I'm like, so Mark Wahlberg doesn't exist in every damn
Chris
movie.
Or Chris Pine didn't do Hell or High Water. That was a blue collar movie all the way, and I guess he didn't get that part. I don't. He retracted his statement, so I'm not a big
Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Okay.
He actually got on Twitter and said that was a stupid thing for me to say.
And like, don't you recognize that, Chris?
Yeah. I don't know.
That slide. As long as you recognize it.
I mean, it's got to be hard to give interview after interview and constantly have everything. Everything is getting dissected
nowadays.
They're
asking the same questions all the time.
Right. And it's like, you know,
he's not my favorite Chris. We all know who that is. but I'll give him a pass.
My favorite Chris is Chris Pines.
Chris Pine is good.
I love his eyebrows. And as he's aging, because I was a fan of his dad.
He's aging well.
I'm a fan of his dad, too. His dad
Have you seen Hell or High Water?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen that movie three times.
And he's great.
He's so good.
And he's going to be in Ava's A Wrinkle in Time. He plays the dad.
He's also in Wonder Woman. Hello!
Yes. And I did critique that, because I said, I want to be Wonder Woman. Don't make it too romance heavy, even though that's part of the story. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want that to be the main focal point, because I want to see her kick ass and be Amazonian and all that stuff, too. But you know, Chris got them eyebrows. You know what I am about eyebrows.
Well, his eyes, too. His eyes.
Oh, yeah. He's got his daddy's eyes. He's got those, piercing. Oh, sexy.
What's his father?
I'm just going blank
on who his father is right now.
One of the best character actors from the 70s. Look his name up. I ain't going to tell you. Okay. I'm ashamed. Because he looks just like his daddy. All
right. They got the same name? The same last name? Okay, then I'll figure it out.
So we were going to talk about Black Panther.
So
the casting
we got about 5-10 minutes.
Perfect. Give me 10 minutes. 8 minutes.
6.
7. Okay. So to wrap this all up, because there's a lot we're going through, we're talking about. It's important. Good. It's stuff that's been on my mind, and that's why I texted Linnell, so Linnell, you got to come on in. I want to talk about... mainly to back me up.
That's okay.
But the main thing is this. Black Panther... We know that hashtag Black Panther so lit.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming next year. They just wrapped. Who was it? It was Lupita. I think Lupita or Denaya just wrapped up their filming of it. They're part of it. But what I want to talk about is the significance of the casting of so many, not only dark-skinned black actors, but in particular, black women.
Sure.
Because in the history of Hollywood, colorism is real. People want to deny it. But if you go look at every 70s, 60s show, movie, what have you, whatever the it black girl is, I bet you ain't going to be around brown like me or a darker skinned sister. It's going to be either a fair skinned one or somebody who's mixed, that ambiguous, racially mixed type of person.
Sure.
This is not disparaging those sisters, because I come from family members who look like I go home and look at my mom. My mom's pretty much a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My sisters, my youngest sister, my siblings, my niece. I go there. They not my color. Like, I'm the last of the melanin in our family. Like, I'm maintaining. I should have had some kids to propagate this melanin. But in our family, it's
find
gone.
Your boy Chadwick. Get on that.
The color's gone. I'm sorry, y'all. This is the last of it. From the Bennett side of the family, this is it. Right. But it's really profound and it's really important. And I want to attribute a lot of this to Ryan Coogler, the director, because the directors do have a lot of say in terms who gets casted. Like, there's a casting director can present you with the actors and say, this is the pool that you can choose from. You can, you know,
you have the final say.
Yeah. You can do a couple of
reads. Especially on that level.
Yeah. You know, mix them around, see what chemistry works and what pops. And one of the things that Ryan has done, because every time they announced a new cast member, let me tell you, melanated Twitter rejoiced. Because not only that, not because we were like, we don't want any light skin. It was just like, we were so shocked and surprised. And it was like, because nobody thinks.
Because no one's used to it.
And not only the darker skinned, but sisters who wear their hair short and natural. Ain't wearing no weave, no, none of all that stuff.
Do you think that had anything to do with Africa at all?
Part of it, but let me tell you.
But we all know that.
But here's the thing. Ryan is a younger cat, because had it been some other dude, they probably would have went with the typical African-American, maybe a couple of British actors. Mm-hmm. We probably would have gotten someone who looked like, if we're talking about like...
Zoe Kravitz would have been the movie.
It would have been Zoe Kravitz.
No, for real.
Here's the thing.
For real.
Now look, y'all gotta answer this for me. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, there was a trailer I saw sometime last year, because I thought Paula Patton was in it originally.
Oh, yeah, where is Paula Patton?
There was like a trailer that I saw that was supposed to be like a teaser for Black Panther, and it had like Chadwick Boseman.
Look her up.
And because I even looked on her IMDb.
What is she doing?
And there was nothing on there, but I could swear. So anybody out there, hit me up on Twitter. I swear to God, I thought I saw a teaser when they were trying to talk about the Black Panther movie was coming, and I saw Paula Patton. I thought she was cast to be in it. Now, I might have been dreaming this, making it up.
Maybe it was
an earlier version.
They were in talks, and then
that might have been it.
Because sometimes they put that out there, like, oh, so and so is attached.
Or I think what might have happened was, once Ryan Coogler came in, he's like, no, this is my vision for it.
Well, see, and this is the kind of thing, I mean, that when the Q&As roll around and Ryan Coogler's there, you can ask, you know, these are questions that you can ask him. Did you intentionally, or was this on your mind in terms of the casting?
Well, yeah, World of Warcraft, yeah.
That came and went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had my other dude in it.
It was last year, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, this is huge, because think of it. In the Marvel Universe, when we talk about the Thor movie, we have Tessa Thompson. If you think about television, you've got the Iris West character. Like, all those main female Black characters are on there. They're all lighter skinned. Mm-hmm. Lighter skinned, the typical long hair.
Halle Berry.
All of that. So this is huge. And there was some little bit of Twitter beef a couple days ago, because...
beef on Twitter? No. Yeah. Really?
Because Jameela Lemieux, who's the former, she's been one of the editors of Ebony, and now she's doing something else. Hey, Jameela. She had just tweeted out and just showed the picture and just said, wow, I'm really happy and filled with joy to see this type of casting. Mm-hmm. And then people came at her saying, you're being racist against other Black people. You are just being hateful. And they were like, you being a light-skinned woman, you being mixed or whatever, you know, why would you even say? And she was just like,
come on.
She's like, first of all, they are Black women. Okay, light-skinned Black women are Black women, too.
Period.
Yeah.
The thing is, with colorism in Hollywood, that's all you see. And we have to talk about this. Media is important. And so when you are a Black child and all you see are lighter-skinned Black people, you automatically start to feel like we're ugly if you're
darker-skinned.
They even
do an animation. If you ever watch some of the Disney characters, I mean, it's like they're always sort of this, like, you know, sort of soft cocoa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, just sort of
like
loose.
You barely can read what they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't no 4C hair. Yeah. It's going to be that loose. And you know what? To each their own. But this is why it's such a big deal, because for the first time, you're going to see a major, huge film.
And we'll see how much money this pulls in.
And see how much money it pulls in and have that. Like, part of it is because it does take place in Africa. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to have some people who have more, quote unquote, African features. Mm-hmm. But typically, that's not the norm. They would have stuck in some other people.
The guy from Get Out is in it? Yep. Am I looking at this picture right?
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
They got everybody. They got Angela Bassett.
I'm looking at
Angela Bassett is the mama. They got everybody and their mother in there. And so what I want to say is, when people are writing scripts or writing things, when we talk about diversity and inclusion, let's get real specific when we're talking about Black women actresses. You got to diversify your color spectrum when it comes to Black women. Mm-hmm. If you're not, then what you're doing is what they've always done, is perpetuate this type of beauty.
Yes.
That's not going to happen. True. And I'm going to find her name. I'll tweet it out later. There's a sister on here who's a casting agent out here in LA, and she basically was talking about how she gets the things that say specifically, we want Black women who look like Black Barbies. Like, something like, you know, we want, like...
Mm.
Barbie type looking with keen features.
18-inch waist.
Keen features. And back in the days, keen features means your nose ain't wide, your lips ain't too big, or what have you. Your hair is super straight or naturally curled, what have you. Okay. And so this is real. These are edicts that they're getting from people in casting. And we all know what happened when Straight Outta Compton came
through. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
And they shared that casting.
That was awful.
And then people got mad at black women who were complaining about it, saying... And it was like the top tier hierarchy. Yeah. Light skin, gorgeous hair. And then they were like the A-list, like the girls, the honeys, and then all the hoes.
Out of shape, dark skin.
Yeah. And that's real.
That was out there.
And you got to put that on, and great success, because I did see Fast and the Furious, Awesome Job, F. Gary Gray. You know what? It's not the best. The last
I don't
one
know
was
if
better.
Anything can top seven. Seven just has seven, so much. Yeah. Seven was Paul Walker of it all. Seven, how to handle it.
Seven should have ended it. And the only reason why we went, because my mom wanted to go see it, because we're fans of Dwayne.
Mm-hmm. And Charlize.
We want to see Dwayne, and we want to see Jason Statham, because that's my man. So I have to see both of them.
Why is he doing Baywatch, though? And whatever.
Let Boo make his money. Let Dwayne make his money.
He's everywhere.
But he's everybody's favorite. I'm just waiting for him to get.
I remember when he was a wrestler, man. I remember he was a Rocky Maivia.
Okay.
Rocky Maivia at Survivor Series.
Listen, I remember when his daddy and his uncle.
Oh, I don't go that far back.
I remember when they was wrestling. You know, the blacks, please. The Samoans, throwing Samoans, please. But anywho.
Can I just give a shout out to the Thor trailer? The Thor. Ragnarok. I want to call it Thor grab his cock.
It's
or known whatever as you want to call it.
I mean, it's Ragnarok, which simply means Twilight of the Gods.
I like the trailer, and this is a sad statement to make, but that trailer had featured more black women than the Gorilla trailer.
True that.
Thor on a mystical planet out there in the middle of nowhere with Infinity Stones and all this other stuff.
Stuff based on fantasy, make believe, got more black women.
You got a problem.
You got a problem. Mm-hmm. Okay? You got a problem.
Just saying.
So shout out to Ryan Coogler for really, you know, putting his foot down and basically making Black Panther black. black.
Yeah.
In a way that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. I think it's important. I'm going to write about it for BitchFlix because I want to make sure people are clear. I'm not saying that we don't want to see that the other light-skinned folk because we love y'all too, or the middle tones, us high yellows.
Well, I'm sure there's a discussion in the Asian community as well, and in the Latino community, because people forget they're Latinos that are dark skin, light skin, every shade in between. Same thing with Asians.
Mm-hmm. The comedian Allison Wong said in her comedy, so she says there are fancy Asians and then there's jungle Asians. And a lot of my relatives come from the jungle ones, which are the darker skin ones who are gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But because of
society and colonialism,
white supremacy, and that kind of patriarchal model in terms of men determining what worth is in terms of women and female beauty, the lighter, you know, hey, Nigerians, Ghanaians, Africans, South Latin, we all, they bleaching their skin, they getting their hair did. So Black Panther, I'm hoping, is going to be one of those movies that comes out and lets black women who are of that hue realize that they're beautiful too, and they're amazing. And we were dressing up, because you know we're going to have on our Sunday best when Black Panther come out.
Y'all ain't going to cosplay that day?
Look, did you see us on Twitter? We were on Twitter talking about we're going to have our outfits laid out the night before.
Okay. When does it come out? What's the date? Is there a date yet? We just know 2018.
Just sometime in 2018. Yeah. I'm hoping it's before the Universal FanCon.
I feel like it's spring or something.
I hope so, because then we can all...
Or like
a bunch
the Civil War, like May, kick it off.
Yeah,
May.
So it's like, we got to get our clothes. It's like Easter Sunday, Christmas, getting your clothes laid out. First day of school, your new clothes. Look, we're going to be sharp. People going to be cosplaying. We already got our menus picked out. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing jambalaya. We're going to bring some plantains in there. We're going to have cornrow. You know, people going to be braiding hair in the foyer. So if you need to get your calorie shells, you know, we're going to have Wakanda. We're going to have citizenship sign-ups. So if you want to sign up, become a citizen of Wakanda.
Hey, hang on. People will take you up on that. Look, that'll be real.
You know what? I might make some money. We have some fake passports that shows that you're a citizen of Wakanda.
That's funny.
You know, we're going to have the brothers selling the t-shirts out there. Look,
where are you doing this?
That?
Where are you going to do this?
I don't know. I might have
down
to go
in San Diego?
I might have to go to the blackest city in California somewhere.
That's funny.
I might have to go down to Crenshaw.
We need to wrap it up.
So anywho.
That's what's up, y'all. Oh, that's funny. Where you at, Lisa?
She's everywhere.
Where you at, Linnell?
She's everywhere.
I am always on Twitter. You know I'm a Twitter junkie. You can find me on BitchFlix. You can find me most of the time.
Have you written anything lately?
No, I haven't written anything. I've just been busy. I'm trying to finish up this book. I'm trying to get a book pitch ready.
Okay,
That's exciting.
So I've really got. I got to talk to you and get together and meet with you because I still got to work on my character who's ex-military.
Uh-huh.
So I need to get your input.
Sure. Okay.
So I still owe you a dinner and we just need to have a day where I hang out with you all day and just chop it up.
Yeah, we can do that.
So
whenever.
Anywho, so you can find me on Bitchfuck. I'm always on Saturday Night Sci-Fi with Geek Soul Brother. You'll find me with Friday Night Horror with Geek Soul, Graveyard Shift Sister. Anything that has Black Girl Nerds and the whole Black Girl Nerds crew, I'm always in that mix. Yeah. And I'm always shenanigans on Twitter. So hit me up on Twitter.
Where you at, Linnell?
I'm on Twitter as well. Not nearly as much as Lisa.
She only responds to me when I put up Chris Evans photos. I'll say, oh, here's your boy.
Because you're always like, hey, girl, look at this. Look at this. I'm like, wow, a leather jacket. He looks so pretty.
Exactly.
But when I see stuff and I'm like, I need to engage, like say something. Like last night with the Chinese American veteran thing, I was like, okay, here, let me just do this.
Right.
Boom.
Right.
So at Linnell White on Twitter, you can find me there.
That was up. And I'm your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can find me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest. Find me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, all that shit like that. Follow the show, Screenwriters RR, on Twitter. Any questions, screenwritersrentroom@gmail.com. We appreciate that. Please go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. We need that for the metrics. And what else is going on? Oh, my God. So much stuff is going on.
It's all happening.
So much stuff is going on. Anyway, I'll leave it right there. Thank y'all. Good show.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Thanks for having me.
Why are you staring at me all crazy like that?
No, I'm just suddenly realized again, dear WGN, or if there's any other network out there that will please pick up my show.
I guess walked in and Imani said she'll buy it, you know.
Okay, Imani, will you hook it up for me and get, please, I got to see what Hassel and Sally Ann's baby's gonna look like.
You might need to do those books.
No, I'm gonna do fan fiction. They've driven me to do fan fiction.
Good.
No, there's fan fiction
but
on those characters.
For real, I mean, you know how Star Trek always has those books that are like after the show, between seasons, whatever. You can write an outsider's
book. You know what? I probably should because I think it's a great show. And like I said, it's the type of show that you don't get to see those type of white folks.
True.
And I'd like to see the diversity of whiteness too. And I think it's an amazing show. They have great actors and I'm just sad.
Oh, don't be sad.
Somebody pick it up.
That was up. So y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. Everybody join me, please. On this show, we keep it real.
Mm.
We keep it opinionated. Uh-huh. We keep it what, everybody?
2017.
Peace, y'all.
I'ma say what I feel. And I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Rant Room.
Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminishing, the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed. In the rent room, we let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the craft of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want.
Welcome to the Rant Room.